Good morning and welcome again to our service. And this morning, continue with this series based on the study Experiencing God. God invites us to become involved in His work. We have been studying that we have seven realities. Before we put that, like the children, the first one is that God is at work at all times. Is that okay? Okay, that's it. The second one is that God pursues a love relationship, a personal relationship with every person. That's the second reality. The third reality is that God invites us. That's our reality today, that God invites you to become involved with Him in His work. In order to do that, He at some points will speak. You know, he speaks through the Bible. He will speak through circumstances. He will speak through a sermon. He will speak through a song. And then when He speaks, the next reality is that we are going to have a crisis of belief. What, is that real or not? We feel uncomfortable. But this next reality, the sixth one, is that we need to adjust. And the seventh reality is only there only when we obey, and when we obey is that we experience God. Now, we have been studying some examples. We have been studying the example of Moses, Abraham, and but today we are going to study another character from the Bible. Jesus says, "My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I am too working." That's the reason why we say the first reality, John chapter 5, verse 17. And then in the same chapter, Jesus says, "I tell you that the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what He sees His Father doing." What a deep truth that Jesus is saying, that He has to see what the Father is doing. And the Father at some point told Him what to do, and He did it. And it's exactly the same with us. And this morning, I invite you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'm going to read how God invited, how God called Samuel. We have studied Abraham and Moses. Today is about Samuel. So I'm going to read just verse 10, how God invited him to do something. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10 says, "The Lord came and stood there, calling us the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" Let us pray. Father, thank you that you are a reality in our lives. When we surrender to you, thank you for your love for us. And Father, we place into your hands our time together. We want to experience you. We want to know you. We want to honor you. So Father, may your Holy Spirit help us to receive what you have prepared for us this morning as we read your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today is the Lord called Samuel. There are many passages in the Bible that in the New Testament, God calling people to peace, calling people to know Him, calling people to be His children. In the Old Testament, we have the calling of Abraham, Moses, and now Samuel. Now, before we start with the calling of Samuel, let me give you a background. Samuel is the song of... Well, a woman who was unable to have children. Thank you. And then she prayed, and then said, "God, if you give me a child, I will offer him to you." So now she prayed, Samuel is born, and now when he is old enough, she brings the child. She fulfills the promise. And now Samuel is brought to the temple. Now, the temple is not like we have in our picture, the beautiful temple of King Solomon or David when he started. No, it was the time of the tabernacles, a tent. So there is something like that. Samuel is there. Samuel is serving as the assistant to the high priest, Eli, and it's 1100 before Christ. He's serving the Lord there in that pre-temple structure. And we read here how God called him, and this illuminates how God can call you or can call me, can call anyone to serve him. So let's read verse 1. So I invite you, please have your Bible open. So I'm going to read a few verses from 1 Samuel. And chapter 3, verse 1 says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare." There were not many visions. No inspired prophet to preach the word of God. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. And then verse 2 says, "One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was laying down in his usual place. The Lamb of God had not yet gone out." Maybe there was some hope there. And Samuel was laying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Samuel is serving. How old was he? Well, some people, some scholars says 12, 13, 15. But that word means up to 19, so it will be something like a first-year student university. You know, that is the age of Samuel. And he's serving there. And then the Lord comes and the first calling. Verse 4, Samuel answered, "Here I am." Now, when God called him, it sounds like a man's voice. And we need to understand that God doesn't call people in that way today. You know why? Because the word of God is complete. Everything is here. He has spoken. But in those days, he did it that way. Because the revelation have to come. So the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel responded as a teenager. And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you call me?" But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Hear the first call. There are going to be four calls before the moment he realized that God is calling. He didn't expect it. How is it possible that God, the creator of the universe, can call a boy like him? And the obvious answer is Eli. So I'm going to see what he wants. And the application for us from this old text is the first of all, when God calls you, when you read the Bible and you hear a sermon, you hear a teacher, who is it? When someone is coming to know the Lord, the call of God to an individual, God takes the initiative. He is going to call you. Sometimes it's unwanted, maybe a sermon, a testimony, a reading of the Bible. The voice of the Lord comes and you will feel unrest. You say, "What's happening in my life?" And you come to think, you need to realize, you realize that you need something. You have tried everything. Perhaps there is a sense of shame because you start getting to know that God is holy and you know, "I cannot be like that. I am no well to be before God." A voice of conviction. Maybe there is a big disappointment in your world, in your life. People have broken promises. Your marriage is down. The people are not what you thought they would be. Your hopes are gone. Everything you planned went wrong. And then a sweet voice called your name. Samuel. You wonder, there must be more meaning. And you have to do something because it's personal. It's personal. You see here, Samuel is called by his name. You will know it's for you. It's about you. But let me jump the verses and let me read verse 7. Shall we read this verse together? Verse 7 is key here in the narrative. Shall we read it together? Now, wait a minute. This is Samuel, the assistant to the high priest. He doesn't know the law. I know saying it, the scripture says. He didn't know the Lord. The word, the Hebrew word here is yada, means to perceive, to know intimately, to understand, to experience. That's the Hebrew word. So we can say, now Samuel did not experience the Lord yet. We can be preachers. We can be a bishop. We can be somebody who has been a missionary for years, and yet you don't know the Lord. And yet, I don't know the Lord. And I'm not saying something, oh, Freddie, what you are saying, that's not politically correct. Wait a minute. Well, go to chapter 2 in 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 12, the same word. 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 12 says, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. Shall we read together? Now, they were the priests. They were serving in the temple. They didn't know the Lord. Samuel didn't know the Lord. When we don't know the Lord, when we don't honor his word, happened what happened there. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. What a sad situation. It's sad in our societies. That sometimes people run, oh, I feel better in this place. Oh. Do you know the Lord? Are you honoring him? Boy, I better look for a place where I'm going to be, I feel good. I like the worship. I like the pastor. I like the musicians. Do you know the Lord? Do we know the Lord? The word of the Lord was rare. It is rare in our societies. The Lord called Samuel, and Samuel says, "I am, here I am." He went to Eli and said, "No, well, what is happening here? You know, the same happened to us. You feel bad. You say, what is this? You want to understand. You start reading the scripture. You start hearing this teaching. You read a magazine. You hear a song. What is this?" And then you ask your mind, "Let me investigate. Let me do a research on this." And then you go. Some people go and do a theological a degree. Some people go and do something about it. And some people say, you ask your friends, and they say, "What's going on?" So your friend, you go to the pub, and you are tired. You are just anxious. It's nothing. You need a break. Have a drink. Go on holidays. They don't know. Eli didn't know. Go. Nothing happened the second time. Eli didn't know. Now the Lord comes the third time, again, the second time. They said, Samuel got up and goes back. This time he's not running. He says, Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You call me." The call come again. It's a mystery. Human counsel or your own mind trying to put you at rest. But you know, we know something have to happen. You know what have to happen? That you need to know the Lord. You need to know him personally. You need to touch, you know, maybe it's the same with you. It's not just theory. It's not just something you need to read and investigate. No, God wants you to know you. You know what includes? The experience of Calvary. When we know the pain Jesus went, you know, every time we disobey, it's like the same sacrifice. This morning, I feel in my heart, I'm going to share with you the testimony of a man, of a Muslim, who came to know the Lord. And he was an academic. And you know how he started to know more the Lord? When he heard from his best friend, this is from his book. He heard this. And he started to investigate more. You know, Muslims, they believe that Jesus is not the Son of God, that he didn't die on the cross, And this is what he heard. He said, he was meeting with his friends, and he heard, no one in history ever survived a full Roman crucifixion. The Romans designed it to be a humiliating method of execution. The Romans used what is called a flagrum, you know, like a whip, that was designed to rip the skin off the body and cause excessive bleeding. After just a few lashes, the victim's skin began to come off in ribbons, and their muscles tore. He started listening. These are facts. After a few more lashes, the muscles became like pulp. Arteries and veins were laid bare. Sometimes the whip, you know, will reach around the abdomen, and the abdominal wall will give way, causing the victim's intestines to spill out. Obviously, many people die during the flogging alone. He heard this, and he started to read more. I want to know. And this young man carry on investigating. But now if we go back to Samuel in chapter 1 Samuel chapter 3 verses 8 and 9. The third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you call me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Finally, Eli discerned the boy was being addressed by the Lord, so he advised him to submit himself to whatever the Lord could have him to do. You know what he's teaching? The very principle of humility. This is what we need to have, humility. When we hear the voice of God, when we hear his voice calling you, we need to be humble. So Eli is teaching Samuel the very principle of humility. And we read this wonderful verse 10. The Lord came and stood there calling us the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord, look at that beautiful word. Then the Lord came and stood there. One translation said the Lord came and stationed himself. This time he will not leave off. He will insist. Maybe it was a strong presence. And he repeat, "Samuel, Samuel, speak, for your servant is listening." When we respond with humility is when we say, "Lord, speak, I believe. Lord, speak, I will listen. Lord, speak, I renounce any resistance. Lord, speak, I renounce any materialistic explanation. Lord, speak, I am at your disposal. Lord, speak. Oh, Lord, deal with me." You know what? Many churches, people come to church Sunday by Sunday, and the Lord speaks, and we are not humble. As I said, Eli teaches Samuel the principle of humility. "Speak, for your servant is listening." A few months ago, I was given this book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, by somebody here. And I must confess, when I was serving in London, I found it difficult to share the gospel with Muslims. And this book has been an eye-opening. Here, Nabil Qureshi describes his dramatic journey from Islam to Christianity. And here, I see the principle of humility. We are going to hear him. He died last year. We are going to hear him when he introduced his book.
If Christianity were true, and it meant you had to give up everything to follow God, would you want to know the truth? I was a mama's boy. Every time we went out somewhere, if I were scared, I would run up to my mom. I would stay very close to her. If I were sick, I would put my head on her tummy. I was very, very close to my mother. My earliest memories are of my mother every day sitting me next to her and having me put on my skull cap and showing me how to recite the Quran letter by letter. I finished the Quran when I was 5 years old, and by that time I had memorized the last 7 chapters so that I could recite them during the 5 daily prayers. To be raised Muslim in the United States was a point of pride because we believed that we had the truth. In my freshman year of college, my best friend and I had many conversations about faith. We argued all the time about Islam versus Christianity. But one specific day, he pulled me aside and he said, "Nabil, if Christianity were true, and it meant you had to give up everything to follow God, would you want to know the truth?" It took a long time before I was able to determine for myself, even if I lose everything, it's worth it. And when my parents did find out, it was the most painful day of my life, probably the most painful day of their lives too. And I'll never forget the look in my mother's eye. Her whole life is Islam, just like my life was. And now my whole life is Christ. And there's just no connection anymore. But to have Christ in my life makes every loss worth it. My hope and my prayer for this book is that everyone who picks it up would draw closer to one another. Muslims by understanding the gospel, Christians by understanding the passion and the love that Muslims have, and ultimately through all of this, so that we can arrive at the truth and at a glory that will be given to God.
This is the right attitude to which the Lord will respond. You have to come to Him in humility. This guy lost everything. And we don't want the color of a chair. We don't want a band playing. We don't want a minister preaching. We don't want the way we do things. What a shame. You cannot come to Him jauntingly and say, "Lord, if you are there, do this for me. I will believe." If nothing is happening as you want, you stop coming to church. You believe the gospel. You believe that He paid the price for you. You know that you are a sinner. You need to name your sins to the Lord. Don't name it to a priest. Don't name it to me. I don't interest it. Name it to the Lord. It's personal. He wants to change you. He wants to give you eternal life. God invites you to become involved with Him in His word, my friend. He's at war there. I don't know what is it. I don't know what is it. I don't know what is it for you. I'm still discovering what God wants me to do for Him. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If He called you, say, 'Speak, Lord.' Servant is listening." We need to go on our knees like this man went and respond. We have 2 callings. Theologians call a general call, this one for everyone. For God so loved the world. Many people don't respond. That's okay. You know, and sadly, that's the situation. That's the general call. They call it. But there is an effectual call. Something beautiful. Something that when God Himself comes to you, the Westminster Shorter Catechism called effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing you of your sin, of my sins and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ and renewing our wills, He doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. What a wonderful calling. What a wonderful calling. He saves you, not because you do. Don't bring your own good, says the Bible. Bring yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says, He has saved us and invite us and call us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, no, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. My friends, as I conclude this morning, the effectual calling is more commonly known as an irresistible grace. God wants something beautiful for you. It's annoying sometimes to receive a special delivery letter because you have to sign. I was supposed to receive one this week and I have to 3 days until they found me. It was not that important anyway. You know, and I have to cancel a meeting to go there. But this letter is not to see the Queen. It's not to have a lunch with Michael Bublé. Or Bublé? Michael Bublé, thank you. I always with Adele, or, it's with the living God. In his address to you, he wants to give you eternal life. He wants to change your life and your family. He wants to give you joy, regardless of your circumstance. Are you going to respond to him? Are you going to accept the advice of Eli? If he calls you, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. May the Lord help us to respond to his calling. I don't know what he said for you, but I'm sure he has something for you to do. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope we have in you. Father, I pray for that person this morning that has been running away from you, searching for explanations like his wonderful brother. My prayer is that he or she will find you today. He or she will answer to your call, to your wonderful invitations, to eternal life, to a new life, to be with you forever. Oh, Father, thank you for this time that we gather around your word and we learned that you invite us to have a personal relationship with you so we can join you in order to do your will for your glory. Amen.